Welcome to Talkin' Trash, a Rochester-based food podcast where we rate and review local and national food favorites. I'm Rob.
I'm Randy.
And I'm Andy. And we recently had a bunch of wings with a bunch of buds at the Old Stone Tavern in Rochester, New York.
Oh, yeah.
This place we've talked about with our... We were just like thinking of wings places and we're like, let's go there. They just make good bar food. It's like a solid, and it's in the South Wedge, and they make good bar food. And we've been there a couple times just as a group of buds, and people have gone there for happy hour and stuff. And they have a really big menu, but we focused in on the wings. They had a lot of crazy flavors, but we'll get to those in a little bit. Maybe we should catch up. But before we do that, we have a guest on the pod this week. He was on our last episode, or maybe the next one. I'm not sure how we're parceling these out. But Pat's back. Pat, you are a veteran of the show. Do you remember what you've reviewed? I remember one time going to Bill Gray's with you guys, but that was before I was actually a co-host.
Yeah, done a few.
I think I just went to hang out and have food.
few trash plates we did. Let's see, I've done, I think, Bill Gray's, Dogtown. I want to say maybe I did Blue Wolf with you guys back in the day. But I might not have. I don't know. I know we've done.
We went there together.
We did go there together. We've done donuts. I've done. I believe I did some breakfast sandwiches with the all. Yeah, you know.
I do feel like Pat is kind of one of the.
Do you think
co-hosts.
He's the number one guest?
I will say it has been a minute. It's probably been a good 10 episodes at least, if not a little
maybe
more.
A year.
Yeah,
right?
Since I've been on.
Before Pat, we had Nick on for a couple wing episodes, but before that, I think we were on a long dry spell of guests. Or am I wrong?
No, I mean, we also had like a dry spell of just not recording episodes.
Correct.
Even between ourselves.
We had 16 months and we recorded one episode right in the middle.
Yeah. We were really resting our voices, you know.
Yeah. It's trying.
Now we're back and better than ever, baby.
Exactly.
Now Pat's we're back. Yeah.
Building up a pile of peeves and plugs so we'd be ready to go.
Brother of Silky Chris.
Oh, yeah.
So we went to the Old Stone Tavern. Yep. Old Stone Tavern. We tried to recruit people, and we got Pat and my kids. And
yeah.
The three of us. The classic
great.
Six.
Yeah, it was...
Oh, this is very funny. Thinking of just saying like six. On the way from dinner last night to the auditorium theater, we passed... I guess it's a convenience shop, but it was just called Four Guys. And I was just dying laughing to myself, just being like... It's just, did they even know there's a restaurant called Five Guys? It just made me laugh so hard. It's like down by, like, if you go from East and Alexander past the Richmond, where you start heading on that main street towards RBTL.
Yeah.
Or the Auditorium Theater. Just a place called Four Guys. And I was dying laughing because, like, we went to Five Guys once when there was five of us. And, oh, I got a kick out of it. I loved it. It's so
That's
stupid.
Awesome.
I was like, my wife was like, what are you laughing at? And I'm like, it's called Four Guys. She's like, that's not funny. And it's not funny, but I loved it.
I also love it. I just looked it up. They do garbage plates there where we could get
at Four Guys?
At Four Guys.
Four Guys going to Four Guys?
Yeah, when we drove past, they had like generic like pizza pictures in the window and hot dogs. And I'm like, I think this is just like a gas station that makes hots or something. I don't know. Convenience store.
I'm in.
All right,
I got
too.
Us thoroughly off track.
And guess what? There are four guys recording this episode
right
now.
That's true. That's the episode title, Four Guys, except for we call it the place that we reviewed. So anyways.
In parentheses, Four Guys.
Let's catch up. I'll go first. Usually I make Randy go first, but I'll go first.
Thank you.
We won tickets through some charity thing we did to an RIT hockey game. I had never been. I'd never been on campus. The campus is amazing.
Yeah.
I know it's like an expensive school to go to, but it's super nice. The hockey arena is like nicer than the Amherst Arena, the Gene Policini Center. It was awesome. Every seat is great. They've got a fun fan section. Drinks and snacks were affordable. Pretty much everything was under $10. You could get like a crummy pretzel for $5 and like my kids got candy and like they had like $6 beers and stuff. So it was like a great, and we sat in the like fourth row, and college hockey is insane. Everyone's hustling their butts off and stuff. We had a great time. Great family night. I think if you're paying for actual tickets, it's probably like $15 or something. It's a deal.
Did you guys get to go down to the Tiger Den?
We did not go to. I don't know what that is.
So that's in the Student Union, but it's like a sports bar that they have like down there.
Ooh.
We used to go there like after classes and stuff. It's awesome.
Great. Didn't you go to college where I went to college?
Grad school. Oh, okay. I went to grad school at RIT.
Nice.
I don't think I knew that.
I definitely didn't.
Yeah. They actually. So they were.
You're like, we used to hang out at the Student Union. I'm like, he's wait, never what? Brought that did up. You live a whole new college life that none of us were even aware of?
Are you talking about the Robert W. McVitty Student Union?
So actually, they were building the Gene Polisseni Center while I went to college there. Oh. They finished it, I think, the year I graduated.
Nothing worse than the giant capital improvement project finishing up right as you leave.
Get to just miss out. Pretty cool.
That's funny. So that was a great time, and like our kids had so much fun, and you're like right there on the action. I think it would actually be fun to go as like a group of guys or something. Other thing, just something funny that happened in my life. I recently started going back to the Parenton Recreation Center for pickup basketball. On the weeks where I can't play in my normal league, I've been going there. And both times that I've gone in the last 2 weeks, I have played against and guarded former students' dads. So I'm just like pressing my body up against these guys. Like, it's very normal, but it's just like funny that it's like, hey, how's your kid? Just like grunting and like smashing into each other. Also, like, the one guy was amazing at basketball and just destroyed me. So I was like, well, that was fun and embarrassing. I'm like, I know this guy and he's way better than me. This past week, we had a little bit more of an even matchup with this guy, but it's been very fun. I've been loving getting back out and playing hoops, and my knees don't love it so much, but that was just kind of a funny experience. And this past week, I am a very passive person and don't get in many arguments and stuff. But the one thing that bothers me, wait till Peeves. The one thing that bothers me is when I play basketball, I never, ever lie about when the ball touches my hand or goes out of bounds. I always, always, always tell the truth. And some guy, of course, was like saying that I touched a ball when he shot a three-pointer and he missed. And it was just because he missed and it was a terrible shot. I was trying to block it. I would have definitely admitted it if I blocked a three-pointer because it would have been amazing. So then he's like walking around telling everybody that I lied and like stuff. So then later, like, I just started like, I'm not good compared to this guy, but I'm just like, oh, like he said something happened to our team, and I'm like, oh, well, just say whatever you want, right? Because who cares? I was just like being a jerk, like sort of passive aggressive. And he got super mad and he's like, give me the ball, let's go. So then he like tried to shoot three pointers like to win the game, and he missed like three in a row. And it was like, didn't really have much to do with what I was doing, but it was just like so gratifying that he'd like hit it and be like, game. And I'd be like, yeah, nope, you missed again, man. Like, just like,
yeah.
It just bugged me because I'm just like, you can say whatever you want to me and I don't care. But I was like, but if you're saying I'm lying, that's really annoying to me. I was like, it's the only thing I can do is actually tell the truth. I'm not that good at basketball.
Yeah.
But he just kept shooting bricks too. I think he was too mad to actually like function. It was great. I love it.
Nice.
So nice.
Rob, how much did Rob listen to
of
that?
Angry retribution.
No, it was nice that he failed.
I appreciate the compliment, Rob. Thank you. The support.
So I've actually gotten back into basketball too. At LA Fitness, they have a gym there.
They do.
Yep. And every time I walk by, I'm like, I kind of want to shoot basketball around. It's been some years, but they're always playing in there, and I'm definitely not going to join them. But
come join my 30 and over league.
30 and over?
It is.
Oh, no.
I'm old there.
But there was only one other guy in there this week, so I went in. And I took the basketball. I was shooting it. I'm not exaggerating. I missed at least 12 shots in a row. And it was just me. And I just kept getting closer and closer to the basket every time. And I kept missing. And the other guy was on the other end. And at one point, I look up after I miss. I'm like, there's no way he's watching me. And he just is staring at me. But he's dribbling the ball like he's kind of not. But he's staring at me. I'm like, this is so like,
there's no way this guy missed. This is the 12th
but
one.
Guys, I stuck with it. And I finally started making some shots. And it's so much fun. I forgot how much fun it is to just shoot basketball.
You should come on the other nights I play on Thursdays with a friend of the pod, Nick. We play out in Churchville at the high school. You should sub there. It's a little bit
more easy.
The Parenton is like, these guys are intense. Like, they can all shoot the lights out. Cause like, it's like a lot of sports. Like, if you're playing and you're 40 or 50, you're good. Otherwise, there's no point.
You played in high school. Like,
at least. So all of them can shoot the lights out, and they're like still pretty athletic. And I'm like, I'm tall enough that I'm a valuable teammate in that I will get a lot of rebounds. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much all I bring to the table. I can tell within three shot attempts if I'm going to be making baskets that night or not. So I can decide I'm going to be playing offense or just playing defense within three shot attempts, because they're usually awful when I'm off. But a lot of these guys just play like every night. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's like volleyball probably too. You got some of those guys who just play volleyball every night.
Lifers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. My big... Nice. It is. I'm listening to all these stories. I'm not saying you're not.
Exactly. There's no good way to transition from us just being like, basketball's
nice.
Crazy.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not saying nice anymore.
You got a good basketball story, Rob?
And much like shooting baskets,
you have to it's do segues. It's interesting, Randy. Much as you perceive or persevered by trying to shoot more baskets, I overcame my initial failure to bake Anadama bread by baking it well and correctly, because if you remember from 1 year ago, I vowed to bake every recipe from the Bread Baker's Apprentice.
I
go, I'm going to bake every bread in order in which they appear in the book. And I started with Anadama bread, the first recipe in the book. And I tried baking it like three times, and every single time failed, which really put a monkey wrench in my plan to bake every single kind of bread in the book, starting with the first one. And so, you know, almost maybe not quite a year, I think it was the maybe 4 months past. And so I got this theory that the reason it didn't rise properly was because I think I was using a cast iron bread pan. And the cast iron just stays cold and doesn't like really get to room temp very easily. Mm-hmm. So I bought new bread pans that were aluminum, and lo and behold, it came out like perfectly. So nice. I did actually first bake the very first bread properly so I can move on to the next one, which I'm choosing to skip because it's a stupid like Greek celebration bread. And I don't really care about that, but I'm going to bagels.
Next. Ooh. I tried the Anadama bread.
Oh, yeah.
You gave me half a loaf.
Oh, yeah, I did give you half a loaf.
Christy and I had some toast. I tried it with just butter. I tried it with butter and jelly. It's very good.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
Nice.
Did I give you the other half? I did, right?
I've been eating, and I've been eating your bread with Kerrygold butter, and it's just so good. And I honestly, I've eaten it as my dinner one time, because I'm like, I'll just have like a slice and then just keep eating it.
Kerrygold, the butter of my people.
Oh, I'm a Kerrygold hound for sure.
You got me on the Kerrygold.
Rob, have you ever made butter? That's like a big Instagram trend in the last like 6 months.
I'm usually like a year or two after these trends. So give me a year and I'll do it.
You got your sourdough starter 2 years ago.
The thing about the Anadama bread is it doesn't hold up well after like a day or two. Whereas like sourdough, you could eat it all week, like at least 4 or 5 days, and it actually holds up.
It only gets more sour and doughier.
Yeah, it gets better. But it actually does. Flavor does get better on day three. but then I also baked a couple. I've been kind of on a baking streak, and so I made millionaire shortbread.
Had it delicious
for a Bills party, and it was the first time I ever made shortbread, but it was really, it came out pretty good and it tasted really good.
He's a regular Ted Lasso, this guy.
Oh yeah, he did make shortbread, didn't he? And then I also made I think I had already the Nanaimo bars.
Those were great.
Those were pretty good. And then I made a rice pudding cake for a holiday party. And so, like, essentially you make rice pudding, put into a pan, and I made, like, this mango caramel sauce for it. And it came out also pretty good. So, been on a bacon tear, guys. I think I'm going to keep rocking it with the baking, and it's an excuse to buy a ton of weird pans, basically. So
I'm looking forward to bagels. I had a little time, I don't know if it was during COVID, where we made bagels. We did like the cheap kind of yogurt ones, and then I did a couple times where we made them our own. And like all the bread making, as I'm sure you know, because you do a lot of it and maybe you guys have experienced, it just does take time. Like even when I've made like really good pizza doughs, and it's like most of the time in your life you're just kind of in a rush, especially with little kids and I have to feed them and stuff, but it's like when you actually do put the time in, it's so much better.
It does. Yeah. And actually one thing that I just created was I made, like, my house is pretty cold, I just like cold temps, so it makes it pretty hard to get things to rise properly.
Yeah.
So I built my own.
You just bring them to the LA Fitness sauna with you.
Yeah. What's that glass bowl?
It's a sauna / proofing room.
But I just looked up some online things where people are like, you can make your own little like proofing oven basically. And so I have like this old styrofoam cooler that like, I think I had a meat delivery to my house. And so it's a pretty big cooler. And I have a heating pad that I use when I make kombucha. And you just throw the heating pad in there. You plug into the wall, you put a little rack on top of it, and it perfectly fits everything that I'm trying to proof. And so that's a really good option to make sure you're going to have a properly temped proof. So anyways, that's my little baking adventure.
Lovely.
Yeah, thank you. Pat?
Welcome. Nice.
Yeah, I feel like maybe I have to go back like 15 years since you guys didn't even know I went to RIT to do some catching up.
Tell some college.
The Tiger's Den.
Actually, they did. So one of the things they had, and I believe they sell it now in Wegmans and whatnot, it's called Tiger Sauce, and it is... like it is like a combination like hot sauce and I guess close to like maybe a sweet and sour-ish, but not quite.
When you said that, we all kind of just like looked at you. We're like, yeah. Ooh, a new condiment. Yeah. Interesting. I'm listening.
It's delicious. So I highly spoiler alert for a plug, but Tiger Sauce.
Is it Wegmans brand or?
No, it's like, I don't know.
It will be.
Tiger Woods?
When they steal it.
So like it is made by RIT. Like it is. Oh, like, it's okay. Like the RIT Tiger, but it's just Tiger Sauce. And they sell it at Wegmans under like a, they usually have that one area where they have a bunch of specialty sauces.
Isn't it the college sauce section for every college's sauces?
Yep. The patented.
Yeah.
Geneseo, Green Heat. End of list.
That's all we could come up with on the spot.
The only college I could think of is the one I went to.
But yeah, no, for a catch-up, I'm trying to think of...
Cornell Cayenne.
It actually was pretty good. Similar to Rob, I also enjoy some baking. I was telling Rob before the start of the podcast this weekend, so this is a pre-catch-up, post-catch-up? I don't know.
This is the catch-up.
But it hasn't happened yet, so we can't catch up on it.
Oh, if you're a time traveler, it's a catch-up.
Okay, that's fair. But I found a recipe for it is cinnamon roll snickerdoodles. So I'm going to try to make that this weekend. That's going to be my big baking adventure. They look pretty easy, and I've made snickerdoodles before that turned out pretty good. And this is just like an extra step or two of throwing some like a cinnamon sauce mixture in the middle. So I think I can do it.
Nice.
Yeah.
You always do a good cookie.
Thanks, man.
Your cookies are great.
Thanks, guys.
I kind of want to... tackle cinnamon rolls sometime myself.
Like full on cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law 1 year was like, I want to make cinnamon rolls for Christmas. And she spent the entire like fall just making tons of cinnamon rolls. And like four different times she brought some over. It's like, try these. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, you need to do this every year, like with a new item that you want to master.
Yeah.
But I think her like boyfriend was just like, he had like 85 cinnamon rolls over the course of the fall and was like, we can't do this anymore.
Like, I never want to eat a cinnamon roll again.
But that's the way to like, if you really want to master some sort of thing, like you do have to do it a handful of times before you can kind of
10,000 hours.
That's right.
That's,
Anadema bread.
10,000 Anadema breads.
Well, especially with baking, right? Like I've realized, like I can follow a recipe. That's what makes me an okay baker. But I can never do something like, have an idea and be like, oh, these are the ingredients I'll need to throw together to make something, right? Like, and that's where I think if you...
it would just come out too stodgy.
Right. So if you did do something over and over again, like you would get to that point where like, okay, I know the ingredients by heart now. Now I can riff on it and make something a little cooler.
I can only do that with like chocolate chip cookies.
Right.
It's the only thing I know the recipe by heart of.
Yeah.
Well, even sourdough, which I make every other weekend, I still don't remember. I still like go back and refer to my numbers and stuff, but... it's like that one kind of cool thing. The guy that we mentioned in a previous episode from the Good Pizza Company, the one who I followed his recipe for the Philly cheesesteak rolls, watching how he constructs different bread recipes, he's like, okay, this one's at like 80% hydration. We're going to do this at 70% hydration. We're going to increase the salt by this for this one. And he had like this chart where he adjusts all these different variables and tried like, you know, four or five different versions of the same recipe to see what came out perfectly. Like it's a really like a scientific approach. And it was very cool to watch how it was kind of, you know, inspirational as far as like how probably true bakers actually like develop recipes, you know?
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
The one other piece of the ketchup, not, I mean, it does involve me, but also involves my wife, Jamie. Shout out to Jamie.
Former guest.
Former guest, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But so I had a strong food week this week. She ended up having to go into Buffalo twice. So twice this week, I got to have Jim's Steakout. It's why it was fresh in my mind. I made a reference in another episode.
Jamie is also like the type of person that would just text you and be like, hey, what do you want from Jim's Steakout? Oh,
exactly what you
Whereas mean. Like my wife's kind of like, I don't know if we need this or whatever. And I'm just like, yeah, but I like that.
Right. Well, it was basically like, she's like, I have to go into, you know, I have to go into Buffalo to take care of this or that. So like, you're going to have to take care of the kids.
So I'll bring you Duff's or Picasso's or whatever.
What do you want to eat when I come home?
I haven't had Jim's Steakout in a long time.
And that was it. Same. I hadn't had it before this week. I hadn't had it in a couple of years. I was just like, yeah. Yeah, maybe not a couple of years, but like, oh, yeah. Nice. And they make like one of my favorite subs.
I said, nice. Nice. Yeah, nice. Nice. I go, nice. And then Randy, Andy didn't notice, Pat didn't notice, but I look over and Randy's just looking at me. He's like,
putting a big check mark like, on a piece of paper.
Totally nice. Busted. Rob's not listening again. Nice.
I was listening.
But it was, that does sound like a nice sub.
It was, I mean, to Rob's credit, it was nice.
I love Jim's Steakout, man.
Been there in years either.
Did everybody do a little catch up there?
No. Randy? I don't think I did it yet. Did I?
You did.
No.
Didn't I say nice after it? Is that what the problem was?
Oh, no. I was piggybacking off of Andy's.
This is okay. I guess if that counts. Anything else you wanted to add besides?
What's your catch up?
I was going to piggyback off you guys, too. So I'll put those together for my full catch up.
Piggybacking.
Yeah. Randy's piggyback.
Piggyback.
Ooh.
I won't. I like that segment. So you guys are way beyond me in the kitchen realm and the baking realm. I've been working on roasting broccoli this week and like actually getting it down really nice because Laurel's dad does an awesome. I don't know how he does it. Oil, salt, pepper, but it's just delicious.
Nice.
And
they call him Broccoli Rob.
I have messed it up twice. I keep burning it, so I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
10,000 bakes.
I'm working on it.
I would say too high of a temperature or too long probably would be the two top culprits there. Yeah.
I would also say don't bake it for 10,000
hours.
10,000 hours.
10,000 degrees for 1 minute, though.
Yeah, it's either too long or too hot.
It's not like the full broccoli gets burned. It's just like the fluffy part on the top. Like it gets really crunchy.
Don't you want it to get kind of like roasty and charred?
I do, but it's like dry. Like it's dry and like.
Are you using oil or you're coating with oil?
Yeah, I don't think I'm using enough oil.
You can pack it a little closer to each other. And then,
so I do spread it out a bit.
Yeah,
so
I mean, well, if you're saying it's getting too crunchy, you could just crowd it around and it won't cook as much.
Time. Don't lose much moisture.
I've done it twice this week, so I will try that. Yeah.
Do more
time.
Of it at once too, and that way, you know, it's
all
tight.
Just a huge pile.
Did you look up recipes on how to roast broccoli?
No, I'm just doing what her dad said he does, which is just oil, salt, pepper, like pre-oil it.
That's what I usually do.
I'm working on it, so I'll get back.
You'll
to you
get
guys.
There, man.
When you add your oil. What vessel do you use? Like, do you have one of the oil sprayers, or do you use just like you're just
in a bowl?
Yeah, and I just don't even measure it. I just
use more oil.
Okay,
yeah. Don't be afraid. Like
do it in a bowl and mix it all up.
Yeah,
that's what I do. But I flip it.
Yeah,
it's fun to flip.
It is fun to flip.
Or
then it feels like you're eating chicken wings.
Yes,
but it's broccoli.
Yeah.
And then you got to eat it though. And you're like, this isn't chicken wings.
You could try getting one of those sprayers. I don't know. I've always wanted to try those.
Yeah.
Speaking of imagining eating chicken wings, what if we transition to talking about actual chicken wings?
Yeah, let's talk more about broccoli.
All right, broccoli it is.
Okay, Old Stone Tavern.
Old Stone Tavern.
The Old Stone.
We went there midday, maybe the first people in the restaurant. We went like right when it opened, but kind of worked for us, and we just had a little corner booth. It's one of those places that kind of feels cold all the time. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does, actually. That's a good description of it.
It's a perfect.
Yeah, it's like it's just older, like, building that's been there a long time, and, like, there's no vestibule, so the cold air, like, it was freezing when we were there, so it just felt cold, but, and, like, there weren't a lot of people, and it hadn't been open for long, so it was just cold, but I do like that
place,
though.
More like the Cold Stone Tavern, huh?
Bazinga. Nice. Thanks. Nice one.
That was nice.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So on their website, it says, your name says tavern. Are you a restaurant or a bar or both? And they look at themselves as a neighborhood bar that happens to have great food. And Rob, I think you're one of the people who has told me, like, oh, they have great bar food. They have great food. You've been there a handful of times, or?
Yeah, I've been there a bunch of times. I think our buddy Matt, who was a former guest on the pod, kind of turned me on to that place. And they really have a lot of different options, and everything I've had there is pretty awesome. Like, it's some of the best bar food probably, I think, in Rochester you can get. So
we did a whole breakfast smorgasbord there that one time with Heather, remember?
Yeah, we did.
What did we get? We got, like, I think we got, like, a crazy omelet and some of the cheesy potatoes or something.
Yeah.
It was really good, I remember.
And even, and friend of the pod, or friend of us, who's been on the pod once, Pete, he did his, like, birthday bar walk, and that was one of the stops, and, you know, great food there that day, too. So I've been there a whole bunch of times.
I have a question for you. Like,
sure.
So when you guys did breakfast, is that standard for them, or, like, do they do a brunch, like, Saturday, Sunday? Like, what do you remember what the context was for that?
I don't, it must have been a brunch kind of thing, because, like, remember when we tried to go over break, they weren't even open until, and we were literally in the parking lot waiting for them to open, so it must have been, like, a weekend brunch they do.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So we had six people while we were there, so we decided to try a bunch of the wing flavors, and they have a lot. They've got, like, 12 different wing flavors. I would say they're taking some swings with some of these wing flavors. We got medium, stone sweet, because that sort of seemed like they've got their own name in it. Maybe it's their kind of flavor. Buffalo with a question mark. Garlic parm. That's in my notes. I'm editing there a little bit. Buffalo garlic parm. Kiss. Salt and vinegar. Mm. We got five flavors.
Yeah.
We were very well taken care of. We had a waitress, and the bartender was also, like, bringing us tons of food and changing out our drinks and stuff. I teased Rob last episode for complaining about his flat beverage, but my Diet Pepsi here was terrible.
Oh, no.
But I probably had, like, two or three of them, because I was just like, all right, whatever, keep them coming. The guy kept grabbing them for me, but it was subpar. But I thought they did a great job, because we were, like, the one of three groups of people by the time we left. And they were just all over us, which was nice. My kids got some wings, and they loved all of them. So they gave it a 10 out of 10 on every flavor they had, because they just love chicken wings. But do we want to maybe dive in and talk about these a little bit? We got a couple notes.
Yeah.
So we'll start with the medium. I wrote very good. Seemed like...
I wrote also very good.
Ooh, exactly. That's good rating.
Next to it. But I wrote very in all caps.
Is that above nice?
It is. It is, yeah.
Okay. I wrote it that it was vinegar and, like, the cayenne hot sauce forward, a little less buttery to me. I said this is my new thing, talking about how much the sauce sticks to the wings. It stuck enough to the wings, and there was lots of leftover sauce without the dreaded greasiness, the extra grease that I dislike so much. So those were my favorite of all the flavors. What did you guys think?
Wait, that was salt and vinegar,
medium.
You said? Medium.
Buffalo medium.
Were you expecting salt and vinegar?
You asked as if you were going to comment, and then you just went silent.
Yeah, so sorry, I'm looking. Medium says, I said good, got a tangy taste, but did get a butter taste, which was good.
Ooh, so, he caught a little butter there, more than me.
Just a little bit.
Just
though.
A little, though.
I said very good, great crisp, great flavor, maybe some of the best I've had in a while.
I gave him a 9. I rate each wing out of 10.
I said reminds me of McPartland's. Now, did you ever go to McPartland's back in the day?
I was a McPartland's other corner guy, as you remember. Oh, just kidding. Yeah. I just know that they had two restaurants at the same intersection.
They did. One was called McPartland's.
McPartland's corner and McPartland's other corner. Amazing.
Yes. They had amazing wings. McPartland's, and probably, you know, some of the wings I had the most regularly as a kid. Also, they had a killer fish fry. But anyways, I think the Buffalo were excellent.
Yeah, for me, I wrote just right. Wings cooked right and flavor was great. Never enough sauce, though. That was, again, I feel like that's been an issue I've run into with a lot of different Buffalo wings.
I'm a big sauce hound, so I'm with you. Like, they can never be saucy enough.
last comment, though, was, like, a medium Buffalo for me is the benchmark for a wing, and they nailed it.
I know. We really haven't said anything of value in our reviews. We're just like, good, red,
or very good.
But I guess if we're talking, like, we all said it was really... A top tier medium, like a good solid wing.
Yeah.
It's the baseline wing that you want to judge off of. High quality. Number, oh, Rob.
Well, I was going to say, and this might be crazy, but for some, the wings to me had almost like a dessert-y flavor to the outer coating. And I wrote, like a funnel cake, question mark? Like
maybe they had cooked churros right before that or something?
Could have been, yeah, like almost like a sweetness to it.
All of them, you think, or just?
All of them had some sort of, I wrote dessert-y character, and I'm like, I've never had a flavor. It wasn't bad at all. It was very good.
I did not clock that myself.
Yeah, same.
I got it on the Kiss wing.
Okay.
I said kind of cinnamony.
Okay.
So that was a sweet one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was.
Let's talk about it.
Sure.
A little bit of sticky-ish sweet, but mostly spicy.
I said maybe sticky. Like a Worcestershire kick. Did you guys get that at all or no?
I had this, we're the best.
Worcestershire's a little spicy.
I said cumin.
I said cinnamon.
Cinnamon, cumin, Worcestershire.
Pat? It's the most insane wing you've ever had in your life. Tastes like everything. It's an everlasting gobstopper.
I didn't have a specific spice, but I wrote slight smoke.
Smoky.
Smoke. Okay. I put smoky. Yeah. Smoky mesquite.
Yeah. Oh, I do have a what I am assuming is a funny autocorrect. My first note is not enough makeup on wings.
Mine says suave in here. I don't know what that means.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm assuming that's supposed to be not enough sauce on wings.
Oh, my God. Probably. Yeah, I'm guessing that. Okay.
That's, I think that mine's supposed to say sauce instead of suave.
Yeah.
What's, we jumped to Kiss.
7.5.
We are the best.
They nailed it.
What?
I think it was like a... Like I, one of my phrases I wrote is, I like the swings they're taking at these sauces, but they, a couple of them are just a little off. Yep, this had like a little, as we're saying here, maybe a little too much going on. Whereas last week, the Great American Wing Company, that their country sweet heat, like it's pretty focused that it's this like Asian adjacent ginger sweet and soury sauce. Whereas this, you're getting, it's taking you in a couple different directions, obviously. We all wrote down.
He has like at least 17 known flavors that we've identified. So
Worcestershire.
Yeah. Worcestershire.
Cumin.
Smoke. Cinnamon.
Smoke.
Nice.
Mesquite, question mark.
Funnel cake flavor.
Funnel cake.
Do you want to go back and just like wrap up the buffaloes? Because they had also a buffalo garlic parm. What did you guys think about that one?
I wrote, no buffalo to notice. This is a common theme we run into. Garlic was tangy. I mixed the second. This is what I always do. When it doesn't have enough buffalo, I mix it with the medium, and it was way better. But as it was, I said 7.75.
I said, not bad, saucy, lots of flavors. It was hard to tell what I was tasting in that one. I felt
maybe
like
we should talk about it while we're eating the food.
We definitely should.
We're always just giving different reviews.
No, I wrote not spicy, but nice flavor. Yeah. I mean, like good, I said. So not too far off.
That's like saying not a lot of buffalo to notice and it was tangy.
It was hard to tell. Yeah.
I wrote it down as just a garlic parm. Like, I don't even think there was. I didn't get
buffalo. You're with buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bump it.
But I wrote a sleeper hit for me, actually.
Oh.
It was a little, this garlic parm was a little saucier. Usually when you order a garlic parm, it's like pretty dry. So that I liked. And I just thought that was a very, very good wing. Wing is good.
Okay.
Wing good. Wing good. Sauce, maybe.
Sauce more.
Now, what about the buffalo salt and vinegar, which the guy that was like, you know, working with us was, you know, claiming it was going to be pretty good.
Okay, so we had different menus, and also she read it back as just salt and vinegar.
Yeah.
So I wrote nothing like salt and vinegar. Tasted like it should have been named Cajun Hot to me. Like it was like spices on it.
I wrote just an edgier buffalo sauce. Yeah,
that's what I wrote. I said basically,
so with
buffalo,
all the spices is what, well, I'm getting there.
The issue is this. Like, they usually use something like Frank's Red Hot, which is basically just a vinegar-based hot sauce. So it's not like they're adding a different ingredient. They're maybe just adding a little more of what was already in the hot sauce.
I wanted whatever they sprinkle on, like, the popcorn when they make salt vinegar pop. You know, I wanted it to taste like the chips.
It would almost be better as, like, a dry rub. Yeah. Like in a salt and vinegar dry rub dusting.
I agree with that.
I wrote, lingering heat, spices that I do not like. I was most disappointed by the theoretical combination, although I don't really know what I was expecting.
Yeah, same. Like, it sounds better than what actually...
Chips are easily my favorite chip, and this tasted like not like that. It tasted like a Cajun thing.
I wrote, No.
I thought, oh, no. I'm glad you said that and not like tasted exactly like salt vineyard chips. I'm like, what is happening?
Oh, no. Very bitter. It has a kick. And I can taste the vinegar, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. This one I did not like.
Yeah, but that, I'm this also was like not a sub seven score for
me. I was going to say, this consensus sounds like everyone's least favorite. Because same with me. I said basically buffalo, but with much more vinegar. Not my favorite flavor.
Yeah.
And then, are we ready to move on to the last one? The last one was probably my sleeper like favorite, the Stone Sweet.
Okay.
This was like a really sticky sauce, kind of thick. It seemed to me, which was like maybe 3/5 country sweet, 2/5 honey mustard or something like that type of mix. And it was like a little tropical because of the country sweet element to it. I don't know. It tasted like something like Jamaican adjacent or something, but with Americanized honey mustard mixed in or something. I don't know. I thought it was good though. It was better than the other like spicy ones, but that's, I like a sweet sauce from time to time.
I did not like this that much, and I wrote thin flavor. So not thin on the sauce, but almost like it felt like they had added like too much lemon juice or something.
Or they canceled each other out.
Or like, yeah, too much of like an acid.
Sure.
That I feel like there was something missing. I don't know. I
like a one-dimensional flavor.
Yeah, right? I said it fell flat for me.
I love that flat. If we asked them what it was, they would not say country sweet, honey mustard, or lemon juice.
Well, like, then I'm thinking if it was an acid, there is a chance it was like white vinegar. Yeah, so that's a comp that would actually be in this kind of a sauce. But
I forgot to say 8.25 on that one for me.
Okay, all right. Pat, do you remember what you wrote about that one?
Yep. It was like very sweet and sour adjacent to me, but also right with more of that mustard flavor, which was unique. I enjoyed it. My critique on it, though, is it's one of those flavors where it's good, but you would probably never want to eat like more than 3 or 4 of those wings.
Yeah. Before
you
get our setting is good for trying these weird ones. But like, if you ever had to eat 12 of any of these besides like medium, you probably wouldn't. Yeah,
you're a psychopath.
We never get barbecue, but like I could eat 12 barbecue wings, but we just never get them. But it's because we know they all are similar.
But yeah, right. If you're with a group of buddies and you're like kind of splitting some wings, this flavor would be a slam dunk just because everyone's getting 2 or 3 and that's perfect.
And they're like we said, they're trying. There's some other weird ones I'll read later. But Randy, what did you think of the Stone Sweet?
I said I didn't think it was great. Very sweet and sour, almost like honey mustard. Did we talk about the honey mustard there? Or
a little bit.
Okay. Because I don't feel like I would have picked
that
out.
I was shaking my head no as Pat's like, a little bit. I'm like, oh, honestly, I don't remember.
I said what
maybe
I said there.
And so I think you and I both had said, like, this is kind of almost like a honey mustard.
That makes sense, because I don't think I would have picked that out. But once you said, I was like, yeah, that's it. That one wasn't for me, really.
Either. So they have the three buffalo flavors and then Insanity. Buffalo salt and vinegar, which was listed as salt and vinegar in other places. Barbecue, Korean barbecue, sriracha barbecue, spicy honey. That might have been one we should have tried. Stone sweet, spicy maple, Jamaican jerk, honey mustard, garlic. So they have honey mustard as a sauce. That's probably a mix of two, right? Mm-hmm. Garlic parm, buffalo garlic parm, and then kiss, which is parentheses, tangy, sweet, and heat.
They got a ton.
Love it. Love that they're going for it. Nice. They have a huge menu there, too.
They
have,
do.
Like, so much food.
They've got like almost like a... They do the burgers. What's the burger place out in California? Like animal style.
In-N-Out.
They've got like almost their own In-N-Out version burgers. And they've got... They really do have a diverse menu, but they do a great job with all this stuff they do. Mm-hmm. So
this is... We talked a little bit about this on our last episode where it's like, should we be rating the worst ones? Are we just rating like, but I think throughout I've been rating on everything we've had. So I averaged out my scores. It was a 7.9. I'm going to bump it to an 8 because I thought they took really good care of us there, which I love. And I just wanted to have a score that kind of matches all the other scores I've given, which were usually on a quarter of a point. So I'm going with an 8 overall, but the medium was great.
Pat is our guest. What do you think?
Yeah, so I would say, I think their like standard buffalo wing was good enough that like, because again, like right, some of the other flavors, there were some problems with them. Again, give them credit though for taking a swing at them and trying some unique stuff. But again, right, like going back to me and my philosophy of just like, right, if you can do a really good buffalo medium or buffalo hot, that's the benchmark for like every other wing. And they did that really, really well. So I would go with like an 8.5.
Okay. I agree. The Buffalo was one of the best that I've had. The other flavors I didn't love as much, but I think that that definitely earns it an 8 for me.
I think I dislike the other flavors a little bit more here than some of the other places. So I'm going to go 7.5. It brings it down from the Buffalo, because the Buffalo was really good, but they were just, I didn't really like any of the other ones, to be honest. I think
that puts it at an even 8, which would be good for maybe third to fourth place here on our list of the places we've tried.
And that's, I don't know, to me, like overall, right? That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That's probably
these rankings are based on like basically a single performance.
Sure.
We know that there's some variance. We know that a lot of these places make great other food besides just their wings, but we're kind of basing it on our singular experience.
And that's a good point. I think that, you know, a lot of the places that we go to, you know, like our previous place is a straight up wing place, right? So they better do wings well. This place has a huge menu, and this is just one of the many things they make.
Yeah.
And even so, they did a great job. So you could do, you know, this is a great place to stop in if you want some wings. They do a good job.
You could do a lot worse for a hanging out spot. They got TVs all over the place. It'd be a good place to watch a game or just go for, they have like happy hour deals I saw on their website, like pretty much every day, and drink specials every night.
Yeah,
that guy did come and check on us many times.
Probably the best service we've had in the whole competition. Yeah.
Also, wings don't go great with coffee.
Oh my god, that was so funny. Randy just orders this giant tall coffee
at the tail end of us being like, kiss sauce, spicy, sweet, tangy sauce, like buffalo garlic parm, and a coffee.
So maybe that was my problem with the wings. I'm going up to a 9. This place was a 9.
It was weird. You were dunking that mustard one in the coffee. That seemed like a lunatic thing to do. It
tasted delicious.
Organic stirrer.
Yep. That was a huge cup of coffee, too.
Just anti-plastic. Yeah, it was in like a giant clear Irish coffee mug, like the kind you put like...
It was good, though. It was
whipped cream on.
Oh, my God.
So
right. Awesome.
Yeah, I'd love to go back and get lunch there again sometime just because the vibes were good. It was fun hang.
Yeah.
Our guest, in a shocking turn of events, has brought a flavor town to the pod today.
I'm going to need a minute to get it set up. So if you guys want
Ice Cream Sundae?
Want
to
riff?
Do you want us to maybe do peeves and plugs first? And then you can join in once you've gotten set up and you can hop in?
Yeah.
All right. I've got a plug. I've been reading a book I read a book that I enjoyed. Rob is currently reading it. I think if I'm a 9 out of 10, he's maybe a 7-ish out of 10 on the book. It's called The Lies of Lamora. It's popped up all over my like fantasy book group I'm on. It's louder than Ellie.
It's the loudest flavor town.
Fantasy book group I'm in on Facebook, and like everyone's like, oh, this was the best, you know, one of the best fantasy books. And so I finally read it, and it took a little while to get going, but once I butt in, it's one of those books where I think, oh, this would make such a good 10 episode, you know, HBO series. It's about these thieves who they come into the world as like young kids who get put into this group of thieves. And it's flashbacks from when they're kids and how they develop and learn the trade. And then when they're older, they're in charge and they're organizing like the big scores and stuff. And it's kind of this big, their biggest, you know, job they've ever done kind of thing. And it's the story of how they, you know, eventually try to get one over on the higher ups in their city. So it takes place in kind of like not medieval, but like a, you know, Victorian Venice typed city that's got water everywhere. And they do a good job of explaining, and there's good maps of the city and everything. So I've been enjoying it, and or I enjoyed it, and now I'm reading the second one. So it's a good book.
Nice.
Nice.
Randy?
Nice.
There's a show that I just started getting into, A Handmaid's Tale. I don't know if you guys have seen it or not.
I've read most of the first book.
I mean, pretty much everyone's seen it, right, at this point?
Yeah.
What was it?
Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
It's freaking crazy. It is an insane show, and it's a little too much for me at times, so I definitely took a break.
Stress me out.
Yeah, I watched.
Yeah, it's a little heavy.
we watched the first few episodes, and then I'm like, we took like a week. So I'm like, I don't really want to watch the next one, but I want to know what happens. So that's one show.
It's like watching Breaking Bad. It's just like the whole thing is, you're on the, it's stressed out the whole time.
And then the other one, I've already seen this. Laurel just got into it, so I've been watching with her, is Mad Men. Definitely. I forgot how good Mad Men is. So I really forgot. It's so good. So definitely plug Mad Men if you
And shows that. Like that, and maybe like Breaking Bad, not The Handmaid's Tale, are like, they're some of the funniest shows because they're so serious that the comedy is so like earned. Like there's a lot of funny stuff on Mad Men. So much
funny. Oh, yeah. And it's out of nowhere that you don't expect. And I was talking to Laura. I'm like, I don't understand why this show is so good and why I love it so much, because it's kind of slow. Like,
and depressing.
It's depressing. It's just, there's no action. It's just straight.
Attention to detail, era specific.
Acting. Most
John Hamm is like magnetic.
Yeah.
Peggy's great. She's in The Handmaid's Tale.
Yep, she is. And I think the dialogue is big on that show, too. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep, that's it. Rob? Okay.
I've got a couple peeves, as you can imagine. Peeve number one was I was leaving the gym.
Oh, my God. Is he kidding or no?
No.
Always.
I was.
Maybe you should stop going to the gym.
This is actually not connected to the gym, though. I was in my car, and I was at the intersection of Winton and University that goes under that bridge where you kind of dip down beneath it. And so I'm just behind this car and we're waiting at the light, and the cars on the other side kind of stopped. So we're still at a red light, and the guy ahead of me was so annoyed that he just thought the light was going to change, that he just drove through the red light like as if it changed. And I'm sitting there for like a full beat, like maybe 2-3 seconds before it finally eventually did change. So I did just lay on the horn as he drove away from me in just frustration with him breaking the law. But that was just like, and I was like, one more example of just crazy driving. I'm like, this guy just drove through a red light because he thought it should be green, so he just went. And then my other peeve is today, I got home from work, I was hungry, I wanted a little snack before I came over here, so threw some of my frozen sourdough in the old toaster, went upstairs, got changed, come down to my kitchen full of smoke. I started shaking the toaster, and I looked in, and it just, like, the one whole side of the toast was burnt black. And it was frozen bread, so it usually takes a while to toast. So something got out of control. My toaster's just totally screwed up. And as I was driving here, I got this, like, new fleece jacket, and I smelled the sleeve. And the fleece jacket just smells like burnt toast, the whole thing. I'm like, do I have to wash this?
When I got into your smell it? When I got in your car, I'm like, oh, man, burnt toast.
Are you kidding me?
Is that sourdough?
No, you did smell that, didn't you, or no?
No, I didn't smell it.
Okay, because I was like, man,
they say you smell that right before you're going to have a heart attack. Yeah. Sure you're all right?
Or like having a heart attack the best 2 hours. And then two quick plugs. 28 Years Later, awesome movie. And One Battle After Another. Another killer, awesome movie. I thought they were great.
I'll second it. Yeah, we just watched it too. It was awesome.
So good.
My plug, I'm going to plug, it's a bit of an older show. I think it came out last year, like 2 years ago, but was like highly acclaimed. Arcane on Netflix. I just started watching it.
League of Legends?
It's based on the Riot game League of Legends. But like tells an amazing story. Again, I think it won an Emmy or something, you know, a couple Emmys and things like that. So it is one of their more successful shows Netflix has made.
Lots of time this weekend because my wife's out of town and my kids go to bed early. Should I watch this show? You think I would like it, or is it too specific?
No, I don't think, because like I know nothing. Like I'm a would be self described a gamer, but I know nothing about League of Legends. Like it's not a game I play. Mm-hmm. I have to be honest, I'm only halfway through it so far, but I've been loving it. Yeah. So like I can't tell you to watch. You know.
Watch the first
half. Right, I would suggest it so far, but like who knows, maybe the show takes a turn and it sucks. But from what I've heard, it doesn't. It's supposed to be fantastic.
Sounds good.
Okay, sweet.
What do you got for us here, Pat? Flavor Town.
So this is going to be Flavor Town Steal My Heart Edition.
I love it.
We are getting up towards Valentine's Day. When I was doing some shopping, I came across the Little Debbie section, and they have two different types of like Little Debbie heart cakes. So in front of you, you should have a chocolate, kind of like more of the classic, right? Chocolate with white cream. And then the other one is, I believe it's like a strawberry cake with vanilla cream. But I want to know what your guys' take is on them. Like, which one steals your heart? What do you got? Mm. What are we thinking? So, yeah, take your time, take a bite, and then let me know. I can already tell you what my opinion is just because I've had a few of these already. So, you know.
I'm interested, Andy, because I know he's a big strawberry ice cream guy, right?
Yes. I talked about ice cream the other day, and my wife was at Wegmans, and she's like, do you actually want strawberry ice cream? And I said, actually, that'd be great, but, you know, get something you might like too, which would not be strawberry, because I was like craving ice cream. She came back with my number one favorite Ben and Jerry's flavor, ooh, strawberry cheesecake. So oh, nice. Good, because it's like good strawberry ice cream, but a lot of the flavor comes from like the graham cracker swirl and stuff. Okay, my son just came down because he couldn't fall asleep. What am I doing, Pat? Trying yep. both of these, Brian and which Bolt. One do I like?
Which one steals your heart?
I know what one steals my heart.
Go for it, Rob.
I like the strawberry one. I don't like a chocolate cake as much as I like more of a vanilla cake. Mm-hmm. I do like a white cream, you know, no matter what, but I think I trend more towards the strawberry one, even though I usually am not like a strawberry ice cream, strawberry milkshake yeah. kind of guy, but it kind of reminds me of like a strawberry shortcake, which I like.
It's kind of a more unique flavor in like a better way, right?
Yeah.
For Little Debbie, for sure. So I'm 100% with you. Like the strawberry one to me was I thought, significantly better, honestly,
than oh, yeah.
the chocolate.
Yeah.
Randy, what did you think?
I'm not a big strawberry guy, but that was phenomenal. That was like
right?
the best kind of strawberry taste that I would think you could have. And the yeah, chocolate one wasn't, I don't know, right? wasn't as great. Good. Something was off with it.
Okay. Andy?
Shocker. I'm the only one who liked chocolate better.
Really? Whoa! Yes. Twist.
The guy likes too much love strawberry.
Like, this I think I'm too much of a strawberry yeah. critic, perhaps, because yeah. like I had some of that Ben and Jerry's, and that's good quality strawberry for stuff. Sure. The strawberry one tasted a little faker to me, but you guys probably felt that way about the chocolate or something.
Yeah, yes.
But the chocolate so made me divert like, you know. To Swiss roll, like mm-hmm. which I liked as a child. Mm-hmm. So I'm going chocolate. Okay. Stole my heart.
Okay. Actually, you know what? This throws me back to another plug. When we're talking snack cakes, so my favorite snack cake growing up is the strawberry shortcake roll.
Ooh, I've never really had it.
That was like that was my go-to. So it is.
Come on, the next episode, maybe.
Yeah, so it's like.
Do they still have them?
Oh yeah, that's a staple.
A classic.
Yeah, it's a staple. But it's so it's like they're like yellow sponge cake with like the white cream, but then they do a little layer of like strawberry jelly.
Oh, I have had those. Yeah. Yes,
I've probably had one. The one we never really bought a lot of like Little Debbie stuff. It was a Swiss roll. Mm-hmm. Was one I had. From time to time, and we ate like lots of junk food. I think yeah. my mom just made cookies a lot. Yeah,
sure.
But the other one we got that I think maybe my grandma liked was the oatmeal cream pie one.
Oh, that's
my
favorite one.
And those are really great. Good because the cookies are like so soft and molassesy. Yeah.
So our school sold them. So like we would always get them in like high school. Like you just and again they're like 30 cents. So you just tack on like two or three, like whatever. And so like oatmeal cream pies, zebra cakes, cosmic brownies.
Oh, yeah.
Those are always just like in the forefront of my brain from just what, like school too.
What was your like yeah, go to like the thing I remember the most was there's two eras. Remember when did you guys get the slush puppy machines in your
yep.
cafeterias? Vita Pups?
No,
we did not. What the heck?
And it was like I think energy drink amount of vitamins in a slush puppy, and you could get one with your
was
lunch
it like slush
every
puppy
day.
Brand?
It was like 8 ounces. Yeah, Vita Pup, and it was the same puppy with a V on his shirt or something.
Was it blue or red? Ours
yeah,
was
ours was always red.
Okay,
was it an upcharge for your lunch?
No, I think you could have it instead of like something, probably yeah. fruit, or
vitamin
something.
D,
right.
milk.
Right.
Ours was or maybe an milk, upcharge. Yeah. I think if I'm thinking of the right, maybe yeah. we just straight up had slush puppies.
I had reduced, I had like quarter lunches, so I just always paid a quarter for everything. But the other era for me that I think of was the double triangular push-ups. Do you remember those?
Oh,
I do remember those.
There was
yes.
orange, yep. cherry, yep. and grape.
But if you ripped the top off the wrong way, you got the texture of weird cardboard as you're eating it. You're like
the guys on Jackass who were like doing the envelopes on their corners of their mouth.
Just the weird texture touching.
Yeah, ugh. those were like the two big memory, you know, aside from like the square pizza.
But
and
you
the
would
stuff.
You would smush it though. until you're eating it like in a flat version, right? Did you do that too? Yeah. Oh my god.
The one
I forgot that even existed.
You would squeeze because it would be triangular one way, and then it would switch the other. So you'd squeeze it like till it was flat. Yeah, yep. And it would get softer then.
Yes.
The one other core memory I have of like school lunches and stuff was in high school. We had, this was every day, they always had an all-you-could-eat pasta bar. So like if you didn't like,
that's crazy.
If you didn't like what like the standard like rotating school lunch was, you could just always fall back to that. I shouldn't say it was all you can eat, but it was just like you'd go up and get
self-serve.
Pasta. Yeah, well, the lady would just, she would just fill your whole tray.
I had the same thing. The lunch lady would give the tray edge to edge.
Yes.
It was like a pound of pasta and just cover it in meat sauce.
Yes.
She's probably
it was the best deal. You need to
throw on some pounds, dude.
Yeah, right. Like, it was the best deal you could get for, like, if you were, like, super hungry. It's like, I'm foregoing the lunch day to get the pasta because I'll just get so much.
Yeah, it was a buttload of pasta.
Yeah.
And at that point, like, a pound of pasta probably costs, like, 20 cents, amount of they're buying it.
Yeah, they're still making money because they're charging you a buck.
So I'm going to one-up you guys here because we used to have pasta day, but then the next day, it would be, this was the best lunch ever, and it only happened every once in a while. It would be the leftover pasta with a bagel dog. And I don't know why they always paired them together. It was like every few weeks it would happen. And it was the only time I bought lunch usually was that, otherwise I'd bring it. But let me go back to oatmeal cream pies. Laurel just sent me this 2 days ago. They are coming out with oatmeal cream pie ice cream sandwiches.
I saw that on Instagram.
So I don't think it's here yet, but when it comes, flavor time.
Well, and Laurel used to, I don't know if she still does make the oatmeal cream pies. Does she make them anymore or no?
She does.
Because I had one, a whole one, and they're huge, and I feel like I almost had a heart attack. Like my heart was pounding in my chest.
Most people order the minis now. I've been working on her, because those are great.
So good.
But like, she's made cookies that have more of that molasses kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
And she just made one like within the past month. And I was like, you know, if you combine this with the oatmeal cream pie cream, I'm like, this is like old school lunchbox. And she's like, you're right, it is. She's like, I'll try to figure it out. Because it wasn't an oatmeal flavor.
She's like, don't tell me what to do.
She's like, I'm the baker.
She's like, I've listened to your podcast. You guys know nothing about food. Hot. Cinnamon. Good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice.
See, Laurel, I can make fun of myself, not just Randy.
Yep. She'll like that, I think. I don't know.
feels wrong. All right, cool. Well, any closing thoughts, guys, about Old Stone or
where else do we need to lunches? Go? Where else do we need to go? How many more wing places do we need to
got
do?
About 17
We've done like
on my
four
list.
Places that were not on 17. Our list. We got to go to Windjammers.
I've got Windjammers, Whiskey River, Romig's, my apartment, and then a couple others that are possibles.
To me, the big ones are Windjammers and Romig's, because Romig's to me was one I always used to
my
read
apartment's
about.
Supposed to be very good too, right?
So I would say
literally
actually
never heard
my,
of it,
my apartment's great because I've been to that one a bunch recently, but I would say Whiskey River, we got to do the Blue and Gold, because those are like, at least on the west side, like all of my coworkers are.
Have
like,
you never had
the
them
one. I had them a long time ago.
I've had them a few times.
Heard, not had.
Then we got to go. We got to go to Viking Valhalla for friend of the pod, Sue.
Viking Valhalla.
Also, because the craziest name ever. I think we got to go just for the name.
Can I come with you guys to that one? That place sounds awesome.
Absolutely, yes.
Pat, I don't think you're a guest. You're just a co-host that doesn't show up.
I did get two other randoms that are a maybe. I mean, depending on how on timelines. Big Shot Bob's. And Elmwood Inn.
Big Shot Bob's, I researched.
I forgot where.
Big Shot Bob's was from Nick. You? Okay, Nick's coworkers. I went to their website. There's got to be over 80 flavors that they have.
Wow.
It was so, it might be worth looking up.
Paradox of choice. I don't know. I don't like it when you get almost too many options.
What I like is you said, depending on our timeline, we have
the timeline of how long we're going to live eating all these wings.
We have nothing. Yeah. We have to
get so I looked up Big Shot Bob's.
Yeah, I guess you're right. We
just
keep doing it.
And I texted Nick back about it. And I'm like, this place is crazy. They have probably about 20 locations to 30 locations.
Oh, yeah.
Two in Florida, one in Canandaigua, New York. 15 in Pennsylvania and one in West Virginia. The map is insane.
Big Shot Bob's.
And then, like, they have classic flavors, they probably have 40 classic flavors, and then signature flavors, they have about 50 of those. And the signature flavors will say, like, the flavor is Ace Boogie, and that's made up of Black Magic, butter, and dry ranch, which are all listed elsewhere on the flavor list.
Flavors.
Yeah.
So they're all funny. Just combinations
yeah,
of other
just a
flavors.
Mix of sweet buffalo and cayenne pepper, or Napoleon with garlic and parm.
So now you have to go somewhere else to find out what Black Magic
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you have to like jump all over the menu to figure them out. I'm like, that's way too many choices.
Well, we might be going there, depending on our timeline.
I encourage everyone to just Google Big Shot Bob's House of Wings. It's so funny.
it is a House of Wings.
Great
though.
Name.
Home yeah. of the Soldier and the best wings in the USA.
Holy cow. Wait, is this their whole menu? Is just flavors of wings?
There's the sandwiches next to it.
Okay.
Oh, the Soldier is chicken fingers, bacon, gyro meat, provolone cheese smothered in golden barbecue sauce. Well, I got to be honest.
I'll just show
you. That's a whole episode unto itself because I kind of want to try just that.
Yeah, we might need to go here sometime.
Yeah, when do we start reviewing subs?
The next sub says the Jimmy Dittilla loads of steak. Great amount.
Okay.
Six provolone sticks.
Provolone.
Mayo and provolone.
Wait.
So are provolone sticks like an app?
Are those cheese sticks?
So
they could be like fried
mozzarella
sticks. Fried provolone sticks, yeah.
The Tom Hardy. Buffalo chicken, bacon, provolone, American cheese, onions, banana peppers, lettuce, ranch.
Provolone sticks.
I want that.
Oh, they have a sloppy Joe, too.
Okay, yeah, we have to dig into this another time.
This is also reminding me, I follow this deli from New Jersey on Instagram called Talercio's.
Oh,
and they,
I thought it was Talerico's,
yeah,
but
they have like the craziest sandwiches, and they always the guy always posts them like making them and stuff. But this place reminds
crazy
me of that.
Italian dude,
yeah, just like making the most insane sandwich you've ever seen.
I like it. Okay, guys, stay tuned for a whole baby Big Shots Bob series.
We might
one episode where we just analyze the menu, one where we get us weird sandwiches, one where we get their wings.
We'll see if we can decode the menu. You
Big Shot Bob's month.
You think they'd let us move into Big Shot Bob's for like a week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if we can get Bob on the horn, I'm sure he'd let us do that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like, here's a good example. They have a flavor called Eye of the Tiger, and that says Talk of Beaver Falls mixed with ranch. So you have to look on the menu and find Talk of Beaver Falls, which is hot and tangy.
Well, how about so
you're like three? Well, it's like Inception.
How about this
reminds
one?
Me of
four sauces.
But this one you have to decode too. This one is Walk of Beaver Falls. Think the Talk of BF, but hotter.
What?
And if you hadn't read what Beaver Falls was, you wouldn't know what BF was.
Okay. This
we try to get Nick on this one, huh?
Oh, Nick better be on.
Or Pat.
Pat.
We could do many.
Dory, they could share one ineffective microphone.
Yeah, by the way, Pat was here. We're not sure if you could hear him or not.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, hey, guys, great ep as always.
The ep was nice.
Yeah, and thank you. Thanks, Pat, for coming out and for sharing these delicious snacks.
Another flavor is called No Spaces. Big Fine Woman 2000.
Well, that one just speaks for itself.
And then they have Big Fine Woman 3000, which is Big Fine Woman 2000, and it just says upgraded.
What?
Oh my god!
Did a robot from the future make this menu? What is going on here?
What's the 2000 one?
Dark barbecue and black magic seasoning. This is amazing.
Okay,
I got to spend like a day and a half looking at this.
Okay, guys, you know what? If you stay this long, thanks for
listening.
William
Henry Harrison. That's a flavor.
Until next time, keep talking, eating, and stealing hearts.
You see this?
And reading the stupid menu.
That's all the wing flavors. It's so crazy. All of those.
God. Those are the classics. I need to put on like reading glasses to see this menu. Holy shit.